The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
And you're very welcome back to The Last Word on Music. It's Carl Dieter sitting in for Matt Cooper. If you want to send in a WhatsApp, 087-4100-102, or you can get me on Twitter at Carl Dieter. So now I'm joined by our musical maestros. I've got John Cadell and Larissa Nolan. And the first thing we're going to talk about is Scott Walker. He was an experimental pop hero. He died age 76. Now, a lot of people don't actually know who he was. So when I say a lot of people, actually, I definitely mean me, but a lot of other people too. Larissa, tell us about him.
Okay, so what you mightn't necessarily know his vast body of work, because it is very vast and it's very, very diverse. But what you will know is his very distinctive baritone. I think that's probably the most, you will recognise that when you hear it from some of the hit singles of the Walker Brothers. Do we have it there? Do we want to hear it right now?
Yeah, let's hear Make It Easy on Yourself by the Walker Brothers.
So very hard to do. If you really love him, and there's nothing I can do, don't try to spare my feelings, just tell me that we're through. And make it easy on yourself. Make it easy on yourself. 'Cause breaking up is so very hard.
So this is a guy who came to prominence in the mid-1960s in a group called the Walker Brothers before creating a string of solo albums, Scott 2, Scott 3, Scott 4. He definitely wasn't innovative with the album titles, but they're described as some of the most adventurous and boundary-pushing pop albums of the era. Is that a fair assessment, John?
Yeah, I mean, the Walker Brothers were very much a mainstream. They weren't a boy band, but they're certainly teeny boppers loved them. And he sort of shunned all that when the band broke up and he went solo. He decided he was going to experiment a bit more, and very psychedelic, very sort of lush and orchestral music backed up by his fabulous baritone, as Larissa mentioned off air. And then he just went completely off the wall and decided he'd do a few albums of cover versions. Got back with the Walker Brothers in 1978 for an album, I think it was called Night Flights, I think.
Yeah, that's the one that a lot of people love that album. But it's the song, I suppose the one that we'd recognise is No Regrets, isn't it? That lovely kind of country song that they came back to. But isn't it really hard even plotting his course, John, because of the fact that, I mean, there's words you'll hear about his music mostly. You'll hear things like, you know, idiosyncratic, challenging. He was a contrarian. The reason why a lot of people mightn't have heard of him, apart from, you know, kind of cult music lovers, is because he deliberately seemed to have wanted it that way.
Yeah, he turned his back on mainstream acceptance and just did everything that he wanted to do, whether that be like the album Tilt from 95.
Yeah.
What was the album from the mid-2000s where he was bashing meat as percussion?
Was it Bish Bosh?
No, it was...
That one is it, but I love that bashing meat as percussion and then writing.
So Lady Gaga wasn't the first one to use
meat
as your main prop.
No.
Writing lyrics like, you know,
The Drift. That was it.
Feeding my gonads to your shriveled face and stuff like that.
Yeah,
he completely did.
Yeah, like why would you not want to sing that whistle that one while you're walking down the road for the old grey whistle test?
In other words, I mean, he's been compared to, you know, his work has been compared to Finnegan's Wake, that Tilt album. It's you know, just this kind of, it's a hellish existence that he quite often in his solo work. He often refers to. Now, for me, it's a little bit too dark. I'm going to say I can't handle the sort of horror element of his work. Like, I think it's The Electrician in where they talk about you know, someone being tormented or someone being tortured, should I say? I can't deal with stuff like that. But Scott 4 is the only album that you'll need of all the works that he's done. So that's kind of the album that's regarded the most beautiful and the most melodic of his work.
I mean, a man whose knowledge I defer to regularly is Paul McLoone. And he did 3 hours last night of Scott Walker, and it was just essential listening. And I'm not a massive Scott Walker fan. I admire him more than I enjoy him, but I loved that that 3 hours that Paul did. And,
well, because you listened to 3 hours of that, tell us, distill it down into a minute. What was all the wisdom?
Well, it's like all, it just runs the gamut. Everything from sort of like mid-60s mainstream pop to just sonic experiments, I suppose.
Experimentation,
is the best way.
Not unlike Mark Hollis, who we were talking to, unfortunately, also we lost just a couple of weeks ago. That idea of turning his back on everything and just completely going with integrity. You know, it's funny because actually, just yesterday I was listening to that Ah House song. You know, I am the greatest, which is, you know, I could have sold a lot of records. I could have been a legend in my own time. I could have enjoyed it as well. But one thing I know I am and will always be, I am the greatest. And I was just thinking, it's very suitable.
And he played his own furrow very much in the latter part of his career. And I think he would have secured his place in history anyway with the string of albums he released up to the 78 or
so. But also the influences. We have to not forget those. Tom York, David Bowie, who else? Jarvis Cocker.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's so many people who are influenced by him. It's, I mean, that in itself is what a huge.
I like that idea though of saying that he had, you know, wasn't really going for commercial success as a sign.
Well, he had
success.
It, I think, and he sort of got fed up with it, and he said it was like it had just boxed him in, and he'd done it.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking actually selfishly that I have never had any commercial success at music, so therefore I am now.
I thought you were going to say, Carl, I feel like that sometimes. My success has been so vast that I feel like turning my back on all the commercial work.
No, I have to succeed before I turn my back on it. Let's hear another one of his clips. This one is called No Regrets. It's another Walker's Brothers tune.
I know you're leaving, it's too long overdue. Far too long, I've had nothing new to shout to you. Goodbye, dry eyes, I watched your plane fade off west of the moon. And it felt so strange to walk away alone. There's no regrets, no tears goodbye. I don't want you back. We'd only cry again. Say goodbye.
Okay, we're going to join some dots now because he's obviously influencing people like David Bowie, like Radiohead. I'm not hearing Radiohead there. You know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing something that reminds me of Glenn Campbell or Kenny Rogers. To me, that's country music.
Well, the arrangement is country. Yeah, it is. I mean, and Midure oddly covered this, I think, in the early 90s and didn't do...
Oh, that sounds right. That sounds about right. But I think that's the reason why he was so influential across so many different spheres was because he had all those different phases.
Yeah, but I don't know
if you
should cover...
something for everyone to pick from.
I don't know if you should cover Scott Walker because you're never going to match the voice.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And it's kind of like, you know, he always reminded me of Serge Gainsbourg and Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can hear an awful lot in him there. Maybe that's part of the magic that you can hear so many different things to him.
Okay.
I definitely hear that's his country phase there, I think. And I particularly like that one.
All right. Well, I think it's definitely worth giving Scott Walker a listen. I know I'm going to have to do it because I didn't do it beforehand. So you have my interest sufficiently piqued. We're going to move on to another band when we were speaking about commercial excess. A band from Athy called Picture This is going to play four nights in the Three Arena. Now, I'm friends with a guy named John Brereton who runs the Grand Social. He said that they had used like Facebook and various things to promote a gig. They booked the Grand Social, but they booked it out. And then they were so successful that they decided, why not just go the whole hog and book the Three Arena? And they've sold it out. Like, how did that happen?
You've completely blown my mind with that. So you're talking about they were going to play just a small Dublin city venue, you know, a decent size, straight into the...
May I let you know the Grand Social is not
I have been in it many, many
it
times.
It is a mega venue.
A great venue.
But in comparison to the Three Arena.
No, I mean, well, it's not as simple as that. He recorded a few demos. Ryan is the main lad, I think, and uploaded them, I think, to YouTube. And then another chap... who was a producer and a drummer, Jimmy was his name.
Being me, it's not four nights, it's five nights in the Three Arena. They are basically like the Irish Drake.
Yeah, so the Irish,
not different kind of music, but I'm just saying. Like,
the Garth Brooks of this decade, is it?
It's taken them 4 years to get from writing songs together in a bedroom to
protest.
Five nights at the Three Arena.
Right.
So that's all
I'm speechless. I'm dumbfounded. How'd they do it?
I think that a lot of music at the moment is not actually about music, and that's not actually. I'm not taking away from what are they called again? picture this.
Yes, you are. When you say something like that, you are absolutely take it. That's like, oh yeah, they're really great, but they suck. No.
So I'm just saying that what it is music has become about, it's more than, well, I mean, I suppose it always has been in a way, but it's sometimes can just be about, were you there? Have you gone? So I think in there's certain things where it's like people want to be at the thing to have said that they were at it. You know what I mean?
Look, they've been doing that forever. I mean, wasn't that what the Monkees were? Were they not just a cobbled together, you know, show act? They wrote great songs. Last Train to Clarksville, absolute rock and tune.
Well, I love the Monkees. I'm a huge fan. I mean, they're musically fantastic and, you know, groundbreaking in so many different ways. But I mean, look,
three
we've got chord Westlife.
Trick, zero
and,
invention, you know,
it.
Middle eights, completely invented.
Would you like, stop?
I love
the Monkees, but...
You can like them, but at least be honest with yourself. Confess to what you're liking. No, I require some integrity within this studio. You've got to admit that they were nothing more than a boy band.
I wouldn't pick them. I would a million more other bands that are much better to pick in if you're comparing.
Milli Vanilli.
Come on, they're one of the best. But like, if you look at, and we have an Irish history of this, Carl, right? Boyzone, Westlife, whatever. Like for me, I'd be saying the same thing. How come so many people are into them? It's probably just a kind of a movement in a way. And they appeal to people on various different levels, I assume. Yeah. That's all I can imagine.
They do. Yeah, I mean, Five Nights at Three Arena, it's very impressive. I wouldn't be inclined to go, but I was going to say I won't denigrate people who want to go. Yeah, they'll go and they'll have a good time. But, you know, I don't know how many people. And this is my litmus test for how great a band is. I can't imagine that many people going to that gig and coming out wanting to form a band. That's all.
Ah, guys, you're killing me. You know, if anyone from Picture This is listening, I love you. Simply on the basis that
you've
done something which
is
real mega. Send some tickets
me.
Into The Last Word. We'll give them away to the people who are listening as a prize. I'll go along if I can. That's blatant shilling on my behalf. But if you can go from your bedroom to booking Five Nights in the Three Arena, I think you're doing something pretty damn special.
Absolutely. And the lovely guys as well, anytime I've seen them in.
The next thing we're going to do is actually an interesting one. It's Warner Music have signed an algorithm to their record deal. Now, we were going to play you a clip of it, but John Cadell said he would only be willing to do that if we all got naked in the studio. And Larissa had to protect my honour, and she said, Carl, don't take off your clothes. So we're not going to be able to play you anything. But listen, an algorithm, okay, it's like a computer program. It's a thing that will tell you what ads to like on Facebook. It will suggest stuff to you on Google. And now a piece of code just got signed.
Well, it's just occurred to me, looking through the topics that we're covering this week, this must be the most depressing week for music in I don't know how long. Scott Walker's dead, right? Little Green Cars have split up. Picture This is doing Five Nights in the Three Arena. The Lighthouse family have gotten back together.
That's the worst bit.
And an algorithm has signed a record deal.
That's it. Next, like, for an encore, he's going to rip off my John P. right down my throat. John, come on, joy up.
No, he's absolutely right. I completely agree with you.
This is depressing. Is this the state of modern music? Like, legends dying. Right, decent bands splitting up.
May I remind you, it was sunny outside today, just while John is putting pure darkness into our lives
and
there.
These are the highlights of the week in music. I mean, we do pick, I was going to say, the best stuff, the most interesting stuff, but this is...
That is interesting.
It's depressing. It's,
no, don't...
Like, okay, Warner Music have signed a piece of code to a record deal.
I think that's awesome. Artificial intelligence.
But have you heard it yet, though, Carl? Because we had to listen through it here one day, and it was really grinding on the nerves and the brain. I mean, I think we all needed, we all needed brain.
We haven't
even
got to the Lighthouse family yet.
I think you're just saying that out of bitterness.
Ocean
listen, isn't this
drive.
Where isn't this where computer music was naturally going to end one day?
This is where I actually. This is where my interest ends in music.
It's not. Because you know what? 85% of what you listen to is all the same. Western music is a combination, for the most part, of 1-4-5. Now, I'm not going to get into the intricacies of it, but
please
it's the
don't,
way
but at
that
least
the music
it's written
is structured.
By people. At least it's written by people.
I know. Can I just say, I know songwriters and who write music for movies and film and theatre and all that stuff. And they've told me years ago that they've been trying to develop a programme like this for years because it just makes their lives easier. I'll tell you why, right?
Then
they
give
can't.
Up. Then go
no, but,
and get a day job.
Hold on
if
a minute.
You want your, if
quickly
you want,
finish
no.
what I'm saying is that they can't because it doesn't work. You just literally can't do it. There is nothing that will replace the human when it comes to music.
We've been through this.
But Warner have done it. They've signed it.
Doesn't mean that it's going to work or that it's
going
right.
to sound good.
It must. Just, they're not signing me. They're not signing you. So, you know, it must be pretty good.
It's this a protection thing.
This is the equivalent to a group of monkeys with typewriters writing
Shakespeare. Yes, it is. But also, it is further proof, Carl, can I say,
if said monkeys could write decent poetry, why not?
one in a million times maybe. But it's for me, this is just further proof of my theory of the robotization of humanity, because we have to all, we're supposed to all think the same, we're supposed to all behave perfectly, everything has to be written to fit certain rules and regulations.
Okay,
and
say something unexpected.
Well, the unexpected thing I'm just saying here is the robotization of humanity.
Yeah, no, that's
that
what we're talking about.
Is that
come out
unexpected?
Of the blue. Yeah, we're
is
all
that
sheep.
Unexpected enough?
I'm a lemming. What's your excuse?
But isn't this further proof of that? That we do seem to be hurtling towards a world in which, you know, it's just kind of robotic.
Like I read.
Sex is robotic as well.
I read the first paragraph about this.
We're going to have to cover that last comment again someday separately. Larissa, you have broken every taboo.
I drifted off after the first paragraph. This is not what music is about. It's not what, like, people.
Okay, I'm gonna bring you back from the edge, John.
Okay.
I don't want to have to talk you off the roof entirely. So tell us about your pick of the week. Pick something joyous. Return to the John Cadell that I know and love.
Okay, this is actually a reissue this week. Erasure's album Wild is 30 years old. What are you laughing at?
Erasure, yes. We're fans. Me and John are both fans.
Don't get me wrong.
Huge fans.
Like, okay.
This man has had no commercial success with his music and he's slagging off Erasure.
I'm not slagging them.
He doesn't even know who Scott Walker is.
I love them. I just never thought. Play the clip.
They're great.
Okay, John, tell us, what did you love so much that you bombed me with Erasure out of the blue?
Any song that has a tubular bell solo in it is a winner for me. Erasure, one of the greatest pop bands of the 20th century, without a shadow of a doubt. Wild has been reissued as a double disc set with remixes and B-sides on it too. Blue Savannah is on it.
Wonderful. Classical music for the modern age.
Yeah. Love to Hate You.
Love that.
You Surround Me, which is
beautiful.
Probably their greatest single. And I think Stop is on it too.
Yeah.
I must double check.
Such a great album. Carl, I'm actually going to get you that album because I think that you would in particular love it. There's wonderful harmonies, great strings in it. I mean, just the whole thing is just a fantastic album. Blue Savannah.
What do you mean? You're preaching to the converted. I was dancing while that clip
was
playing.
Your band were playing. That's why you didn't get to see them.
That's my excuse for everything. Okay, I'm awful. Larissa, what's your musical clip?
Okay, mine is for a singer called Niloufer Yanya. Now, I actually hadn't heard of her until today.
She definitely
today.
Didn't sell out with that stage
to
name.
To my shame. She's got a brilliant album. I just listened to it for the last couple of days called Miss Universe. I think the track that we're going to listen to is called In Your Head. Are
okay.
we going to listen to that or maybe not?
Yeah.
So I think she's like the Pixies, kind of crossed with Prince, with an Amy Winehouse attitude and PJ Harvey vocals.
Like that.
Yeah, I was kind of hearing a bit of like, I wasn't sure if it was like, it reminds me of like something punky, New York Dolls or something new wave, almost or some Talking Heads. I can't actually put my finger on it, which is good.
It's very 90s kind of.
It's like a familiar taste, punk. But I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I like that. I'll check it more for. That's Nilufer Yanya.
Yep. Nilufer
Yanya, Miss Universe. Well, just look for the Miss Universe bit and then for the strangest name.
Very young, and she's from London. She's only 22 or 23, good stuff. Well done her.
Awesome, awesome. So come here, we've got some great festivals coming up. Anyone want to talk about that?
Yes, the newest festival on the block is one that's the first foray into festivals by the Mother Group. This one is called Love Sensation. It's in the Royal Hospital Comenium on 17th and 18th of August. Lily Allen headlining along with Clean Bandit, and it's going to be hosted by Panty Bliss. It's 2 days aimed at the LGBT plus community. And its tickets are on sale. Apologies. Yes, tickets on sale this Friday at 9 a.m. for $96.25. And I think it's worth mentioning because the Mother Group do great things, and looking forward to seeing what they present with this. But best of luck to them.
Sounds like a good time, Larissa. I know that John couldn't deal with talking about the Lighthouse family getting
it's just
back
dinner
together.
Party music. It's dinner party music.
I think that's all I know about them, is that they're getting back together. And the only thing I could think of was how they seemed to be everywhere. They were kind of omnipresent at a certain time in the 2000s, weren't they? Everywhere they were being played in the background shopping centre. They were being played, as you say, in dinner parties. That Ocean Drive song still haunts me in my sleep. So no, I hate the fact. Don't know why they're coming
go
back.
Away
what
again.
Prompted it?
Please go away.
Yeah, just go away.
The studio is just full of haters this week.
No, it's just
a. What's wrong with the joy of having achieved commercial success with a yogurt ad? I always thought if you could get a good yogurt ad, you kind of had it made.
Well, only if it was written by an algorithm.
John, on that particularly joyous note, I think I'm just going to have to wrap up the last word on music before we go into full depression stage.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.